right, you want to do a check? Make sure it's actually...
No. I already did.
Confident?
Yep.
Confident? Yeah, we...
I was telling him.
Yeah, well, now for posterity. So when Carl hears this, he'll know why his podcast hasn't gotten uploaded yet. So twice we interviewed Carl. Twice.
Oh.
We had audio issues.
That's a combination of unfortunate errors. None of them my fault.
None of them like anyone's fault, really.
No.
Really. It's like just apparently, how do you say this? The computer we were using is racist.
It's racist.
Yeah. Hates white people.
Mm. You know?
And I looked on the back and it said made in China. I was like, oh. Yep. Get it. They got the memo.
So it likes gold people, but not white people. Just
like C-3PO.
Oh my. Oh my. So yeah. So that's twice we've recorded Carl and now I guess we'll have to go back and do this one more time. Ooh. So you know. Well, we got Chris Hoyle on tonight. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Dylan. Good to be here.
Great to have you, brother.
Mm. And this is, what do you call the podcast?
Oh, it's still, you good?
You good.
You good?
Good? Okay.
Hey, speaking of good, how about them Tigers?
I know the Mets are doing pretty well.
Your Tigers are doing pretty good.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
This isn't that kind of podcast, but I just want to touch on it real quick. There's something brewing in Detroit.
This isn't once, that kind of podcast.
We don't really talk sports.
We don't talk sports.
But there's something brewing in Detroit, and for the first time in like 35 years, it's not lead poisoning. So, like, cool.
There you go.
There's like good news out of Detroit.
Yeah. So we're gigging in Flint next week, right?
We'll be in Ann Arbor. Before we head over to Kenosha, we're opening for the Kenosha Kickers.
I think Kenosha is Wisconsin.
It is. It is. It's not that far. It's not that far. Ann Arbor to Kenosha, that's what, 4 hours?
Something like
that. We could do that in our...
Probably 5 or 6.
We'll just rent the U-Haul. We'll be good. It's fine.
Sure.
So yeah, what are you up to, Chris? What's new?
Just going day to day, trying to stay out of trouble. And... playing nursing homes musically.
What trouble could you possibly get
working,
into?
Working at home doing investment stuff and once in a while substitute teaching in Cranford and Summit, New Jersey. And surviving, getting along. And
anything fun with the retirement, with the nursing home gigs?
They need it. They love it. It's always fun, always good. Nothing ever really goes wrong.
Anything funny?
Like
hospital gown, flip open.
There was like a 90-year-old woman in her wheelchair, and after the show, she says, "I'm going to take you home." She was already home. I don't think I'll be going to her room with her.
Well, her room was like 4 doors down from the from where you were playing, but that's still like a 45-minute commute for her.
And one woman...
Thank you.
One woman was dancing in her wheelchair, and the staff is like heading over to make sure she's okay, but she was just grooving and jamming in her wheelchair, standing in it.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
What nursing home is this?
All different ones. A lot of them are in Bridgewater. I've been to Freehold.
How do we get tickets to this? Do we go on the website?
Tickets. Yeah.
You can go to livenation.com, figure out where Chris went, the next Chris Hoyle nursing home.
That would be fun. You probably have to do all the Hollywood things about getting permits and stuff and not have actual nursing home residents who'd be vulnerable. But I was going through my old photos on my phone and I would screen cap strange stories from around the country. And at some nursing home in North Carolina, the staff were running a fight club among the retirees.
No way.
In the nursing home.
A fight club?
They got busted.
Of seniors?
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
They got in trouble.
What a way to go. What a way to go. Bunch of old Korean War veterans just like...
Oh, yeah.
Just give me the bayonet, I'll fucking do it.
I don't know if they got the older women involved with this fight club.
Some foxy boxy.
Because
some silver foxy boxy.
80%, 70 to 80% of the audience are usually female going to a nursing home for whatever that's worth.
So it's like they were doing it for the ladies, you think?
I forget who was. It was a very bad thing they were doing.
That's insane. That's fucking insane.
They were doing it for their own.
And everybody seems to be moving to North Carolina still.
Yeah, thank you for liking that song. I love that and mentioning
song.
It.
I love
yeah.
that song. That's one of my favorite Chris Hoyle productions. True story.
I'll try to make a nice recording of it at home one of these days using Logic Pro X.
Hell yeah.
They're not paying us. They don't have to say it.
Using Dylan Jacobus 3.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is actually the first time we're recording on Logic in a while.
Oh, really?
In a
oh,
while.
Okay.
It's true.
We've been using, we were using Waveform, but we think that might have been the problem.
So. Oh.
Dylan just brought his whole freaking computer over. Luckily, computers are so small these days. He could just bring his whole freaking computer
yeah,
over
I see
here.
That.
Yeah.
It's the size of a PS1.
When I get home, I'm going to have to snake all the plugs again. It's going to be a whole thing. It's going to ruin my month.
I beg your pardon?
Zip ties, bro. Zip ties.
I'm lazy
zip
about that.
Zip that
too.
Shit together and you zip tie it to like whatever, like your tabletop.
No, it's fine. That part's fine, but I have to like reach into my desk.
Yeah.
Now
I hear you.
To plug it back in.
Yeah, I got you.
That's going to take all day.
Well, I know it.
I do appreciate you taking the initiative and just bringing the whole damn computer over here.
Sure.
That's what I don't pay you for.
I see the processor. The processor is working so well.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I can see that.
Yeah. I like this thing. It can't do video anymore, but the audio stuff still works.
Well, that's all you need.
Now, I think Dylan and I both are talking about the need to get a new Apple computer of some sort or another.
I'm actually looking at upgrading my gear again. I think that's something. I fucking hate spending money. I hate spending money so damn much.
I'm sorry really that we're going on these sad topics.
No, it's fine. No, I'm funny when I'm mad. I think I am.
Yeah.
No, if I had a dollar for every time I thought, man, I really need a new computer, and I saved that dollar.
You could have bought 5 computers.
Right? Yeah. But it's the principle.
I hear
exactly.
you.
I've, why the fuck do I have to buy a new fucking thing every 3-4 years?
I've blown so much money, I could have had the dream computers that I wanted if I would have managed my money better.
Everything's designed to break. Everything's just
That's
fucking
true.
Designed to break.
That's true.
It aggravates the shit. I mean, we just got new phones because our old phones were just, the batteries were just draining and draining and draining and draining and draining.
Like, yeah.
It's fucking aggravating, but they're designed to do that. They're just designed to fail, you know, especially these iPhones. Like, you know, why can't I replace the battery in this fucking thing? What the fuck? Yep. Like, it's just so fucking aggravating.
So this is Mine Hill, right?
Yes, it is.
And I suppose they used to mine like iron or copper around here.
I believe it was iron mines, yeah.
Can you find any like zirconium around here in those mines or diamonds that can be like conductors of new processors? You could maybe
I don't think
jury rig.
I do believe this is not a rare earth mine. So we are hooped.
So yeah, if I go over to that sinkhole on Route 80, I won't find like...
No, just dead bodies, miners,
miners.
Not ERS, miners, like in the dirt, like digging in the
ooh,
dirt.
Ooh, miners.
Not,
like,
not children.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
No, it's
you
so,
never know, I mean...
It's so funny that like they, you know, you bring up the Route 80 hole because it's been so aggravating living in Mine Hill, on top of Mine Hill... Because where every detour is being diverted from Route 80, from Route 15 to get to 10 and 46, you cut through Mine Hill, you drive through my neighborhood, and fuck, it's annoying. It's like just, and it's all these tractor trailers. It's just going to cause more. Like the roads are just going to get fucking worse and worse.
That's tough.
And they diverted so many people from the road crew to get Route 80 open because they have to, of course, you know. But this is the ripple effect of how it's going to affect the roads. In this area, it's going to be felt for the next at least 5 years. I guarantee it.
Yeah, guarantee it's tough.
There's going to be potholes. There's going to be sinkholes. There's going to be more sinkholes popping up in residential areas because of all these fucking trucks. And they're just going to keep building these goddamn condos on Route 10 and these fucking apartments everywhere. Where we're going to get more fucking sinkholes.
Sure.
So
I mean, if I was Carl, a local, I could create really funny jokes around the sinkhole on Route 80.
Oh, you're funny too. You can do jokes. You've got jokes, Chris.
But I'm not up on my Morris County specific jokes as you know as I maybe should be having stepped
Dylan,
over here.
Dylan killed that one night with his
oh, that's right,
Rockaway Quick Check bit.
Yeah. It's been long
Everybody in Rockaway got that joke. It was a great joke. You want to tell it again? Go ahead. Our 75 listeners will
I don't there. Remember it, but I write everything down, so I'll look back.
The Rockaway Quick Check joke.
The Val Kilmer joke you had. That you had on Monday.
Oh, thank you.
Fucking killed.
Yeah, I looked.
You weren't
back
sure
on the
about
tape.
It. You weren't sure about that joke. You remember
I wasn't.
You remember you asked me like, "Should I do this joke?" What do you think? Like, oh, do it. Just fucking do it, man. It was great.
Wow, thank that you. Was pre-written that joke.
Yep.
I mean, I forget exactly. I remember you were talking about.
He actually wrote it before Val Kilmer died. No,
that's right. Poor guy.
Dylan actually was the man who killed Val Kilmer.
at Val's request.
Hey, why was there that where did you get that California sticker on your bag? Were you in were you in Santa Barbara?
I don't recall. Yeah, I look back on the
rest
on the
power,
tape.
Batman.
It doesn't look good, but I remember how it felt. So,
it's a good joke.
Yeah,
wow. It landed. It really did. It was a good joke.
The thing is though, if you tell a good joke, the exchange is such a strange and tough room. Mm-hmm. You may not know if it's a good joke or if it lands because everybody's jib jabbing at the bar. Or
yeah,
it's not a comedy room. It's,
no, it's
which
not.
Which is it's like I applaud every comic that comes to my open mic because it's a really it's the toughest room to do stand up in.
Yeah.
It really is the toughest room to do stand up. It's for a music open mic. It's great and we all have a good time. There's a little chitty chatty, but like we're listening. And you bring something new. I love when new people show up because that's when you see the room get really fucking quiet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this person before. Then it gets really quiet. I love that. But comedy, you gotta hook them fast and you gotta keep them. You gotta drag them on the boat and club them over the fucking head, or you're gonna lose you're gonna lose the crowd just like that, man. Uh-huh. It's really tricky in that room.
I try to get over in your vicinity when you do your stand up because I know the rest of the folks are gonna kind of forget that it's happening.
I'm listening. I mean, I have no choice. I'm watching the clock.
That's what Dylan pays you for.
No, you've been good about your time too. Like you got your material. I don't. You're working it out before you get there. I'm guessing you're giving yourself a little bit of like work time before you come in. But like you're never going like if you go over time, it's not like you're not hitting like 10 minutes. I'm like fuck.
No,
you're hitting like 5:50. I'm like okay, all right. He's finishing this joke. Uh-huh. We're there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting the rhythm of it.
You are. You got to get back over to the dojo and give that another crack.
I know. Man. Yeah, I haven't wanted to go because it gets so fucking cold at night, and
you're so skinny.
Yeah, well, like I don't want to go out when it's cold, so I just assume that nobody else does either, which is probably a dumb way to think.
It's not yet. There's a lot of fat people out there. You're so skinny. You gotta realize like 75% of this country's fat. So
we're
like,
starting to get in Middle America out here with the all you can eat buffet, right? Right there, Nick.
If you can eat this 192-ounce steak, it's free.
So. Speaking of that, maybe we could buy that abandoned bank over by Mr. Krabby's on Route 10 and make it like a music club or a improv club or a stand-up
abandoned
club.
Abandoned bank by Krabs.
On the other side of Route 10.
Oh, yeah. It was
it's for sale.
I know.
I bet you a wooden nickel would be a fucking Dunkin' Donuts in like 2 months.
They already have one right there, don't they?
Yeah, I know. They do. But in Moorhead Plains on Route 10, there's a Dunkin' by the Bottle King. And across the street on Route 10, right by the Tomac, where that old bank just shut down, they just made that into another fucking Dunkin' across the street.
Well, I'll be.
That's
so they're
getting
both
do.
Sides, eastbound, westbound, motherfucker.
I'm going to go in.
Dunkin', man.
That's true.
Dunkin'.
Do you prefer Starbucks?
I don't drink coffee. So I
really?
I don't.
Wow.
Yeah. I drink tea. And I'm not much for sweets, so I don't really have much of a use for fucking Dunkin' whatsoever.
Let's see, no Starbucks or Dunkin' for you.
When I've hit Dunkin', it's like I need to eat something fast. I just go in like just give me a
donuts are not the best.
Just give me a plain bagel, cream cheese, or like because like you can't fuck that up. You know, I know they're not making those bagels there. They get like you know bags of them delivered.
What?
Yeah. Oh God! I just blew his mind.
I thought it was made on premises.
Oh no! Never! Never. Never has a bagel been made at a Dunkin' Donuts ever. Guarantee it.
I hear you.
But it's you know, they're not bad bagels. They're just not great bagels. But for, you know, for God, what does it cost now? Because like with all the bullshit inflation, what's it like $4.50 for just a plain bagel and cream cheese now? Probably.
I mean, all I care is that the coffee has caffeine in it, and that's all I care about at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of caffeine.
I don't. Yeah.
And could you imagine me on, like, if I drank caffeine?
Yeah,
like,
you hit me the other day when you didn't have your alcohol.
I was choking. I was like, fuck. Just give me one more.
That's right.
No, but like, I stopped drinking soda and I quit coffee back in like 2002, and I don't know. Like I remember when I remember the feeling I had on caffeine, and I've had coffee since, and I've had caffeine since, but it's not like an everyday thing anymore. It used to be a necessity, yeah. I had to have it, and that started when I was like 11,
oh wow,
12 years old, going to work with my father. One of my jobs was to.
Test the coffee?
No, it was to filter. change out the filter, gotcha. Put in fresh coffee. You know,
wow.
It's, you know, yeah. He gave me shit to do at the office all the time. One of those things was make coffee, so I would make myself a cup of coffee. And I tried black coffee, and it was terrible because it's black coffee, and I'm like 10 years old.
Yeah,
but then I put some sugar in it and some of that powdered creamer stuff, and I put some more sugar in.
Oh.
And then it was delicious. And then I would put so much sugar in it that after I finished the coffee, there'd just be like a quarter inch layer of like syrup on the bottom of the fucking styrofoam cup.
You're making me sick,
man. I know. Yeah, it was disgusting. That was my intro to coffee. Was going to work with my dad, and I drank coffee like a fucking lot, dude. And when I was doing theater, it's like when I was at the Rock, when I was a teenager doing stuff at the Rockaway Town Square Playhouse, the Quick Check, the Rockaway Quick Check. Look, we're bringing it full circle.
Hey.
We would walk to that Quick Check and get coffee for everybody, you know, okay. And come walking back up the hill with the fucking, you know, just stacks of the coffee holder things just stacked on top of each other, walking up the hill, dressed in costume. dressed like Montagues and Capulets, dressed like, you know, the Burger Palace boys in Greece, dressed like I was dressed as the merchant from fucking Joseph's Dreamcoat and shit.
Oh man.
But like it was such a commonplace thing for the people at Quick Check to see this. They were like so like blasé about seeing, you know, a bunch of theater weirdos just traipsing and ordering sandwiches and getting coffee.
Theater people need coffee, that's for
fuck
sure.
Yeah, dude. and there's a theater up the street, so like they just kind of used to it. When's the show start? You know, I have a little back and forth, you know, and man, but yeah, I drank so much caffeine. Could you imagine if I still drank caffeine?
It's good that you're weaned off of it.
Yeah, I'm fucking wired.
And I find that both caffeine pills and Red Bull type drinks are not as strong as a regular good cup of coffee. But sometimes music itself will get my whole blood pressure up.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Very yeah. strange.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no.
I've been noticing that
when you're
lately.
Feeling it, like, and well, you one of the reasons you're you know, one of the reasons that you're great when you sing is because you really emote.
I try.
You do.
You're upsetting me a lot right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Good. Fucking bring it.
Bring it. I try.
You're not going through the motions. So, like, there's some guys I see, some musicians that I've seen play over the years. I think we've all seen guys like this, and like they're just kind of going through the motions. It's a ho hum experience for them. They're not, you know, you know, especially when you're doing your original stuff. You know, you emote. You care about what you're saying. You believe what you're saying.
I try.
You have to, and you have to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like you could have the greatest voice in the world. If you don't fucking care about what you're singing, no one's gonna fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
The thing Bottom is, line. Sometimes you're not in command even of your own original yet, and you're just trying to hit the notes and the numbers and get the rhythm correct. So you're not able to emote. You're working on the logistics of the song sometimes. So I've been trying to pay attention to when I can enjoy the song. Like I Can't Get Next to You, that is hard to play and it's demanding. And I've been trying to notice, am I practiced enough and relaxed enough to enjoy this song, because sometimes I'm just trying to get through it and not lose the pick in my sweaty hand because I'm using it as a percussion instrument. Yeah, when 30 I, second
when
notes.
When I cover Fat Bottom Girls, it's work.
Yeah.
It's work.
It's not always easy to emote when you're working that hard.
It's like a separating my head from my hands.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I have to care. And it's a great song. It's a fun song. If that song was like a downer, if that's like
Fat Bottom Girls really bring me down.
I really don't like big butts.
I love them, but they bring me down.
Let me tell you why I don't like large butts.
Well,
right?
That would be a funny song. It's been a while since Randy Newman did Short People Got No Reason to Live.
No, it's like an Andy Rooney 60 Minutes bit. It's like, let me tell you something. There's a lot of talk about big butts. I don't think they're all that great. For one thing, you see a woman with a big butt, you guarantee that lady's probably going to be diabetic some point in her life. You got to worry about these things if you're on the dating scene. You want to find a partner who's going to, you know, have a nice long life alongside you.
I think you can make some money doing Andy Rooney grams. His time may not be over yet.
You know what? God, talk about a guy who wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
It was annoying even as a regular commentator.
Just like, holy fuck.
Stand-ups are the next level of annoyance, except for Dylan.
Like, oh my God. Anyway.
but you practice the song enough to be able to enjoy it and not worry about the logistics of just getting through it without screwing it up.
It's not about like screwing it up. It's like, will my hands hold out?
That, yeah.
Because it's such a chicken picking song.
Yeah, that's a lot of concentration. That is impressive when you do that.
To be able to keep that pace up for the whole 3.5 minutes. Just, you know.
That's what she said.
Seriously, like, just, hey, where is it? There we go.
Yep.
Whoop. Sounds like last night. anyway.
So there's another.
It's like keeping that speed up is fucking difficult. So I have to really pick my battle of when I play that song.
Yep.
It's going to be the end of a set, that set had to be pretty fucking easy.
Yep.
You know,
I hear you.
Like, it had to ramp up to it. The loop pedal had to be really fucking working. And I got a chance to rest my hands.
Yeah.
Loop pedal is a great, great buddy. I love my loop pedal.
You're bringing up a really touchy subject, Nick, because some people are still like, oh, I don't think he needs the loop pedal, and it's
not a touchy subject.
It's not that necessary.
It's not a touchy subject. I don't care. And there's so many great cats that like that use loop pedals, and it's a tool. It's not a backing track.
I hear you. I agree.
It's a tool. I'm building it on the fly, and if it doesn't work, I have to rebuild it, and that's really embarrassing.
Oh God, it's awful.
Yeah,
it's the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, you know.
Dylan was great with Dylan, his loops. Yes.
When it worked, yeah.
I've never seen you melt down.
There was one time. you should have seen it.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World. There was one time you did Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
It was when I just got this loop pedal.
That wasn't working.
It's still, to this day, like if you plug it in wrong, I mean, it's a digital thing. So like, depending on, I don't know. But yeah, it went really badly. Like kind of towards the end of the song. And I was just like, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. And some lady in the audience is like, no. Wow. Well, listen, I'm not gonna do it over this.
I'm not gonna do it in front of you.
Wow.
But yeah,
I'll go home and kill myself.
It was a horrible feeling nonetheless.
There was a beautiful original you would build with the looper, as you. I remember.
Yeah, want me to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great tune.
I'm so tired of playing it. People want it. So.
I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's how you know it's a good tune.
Yeah.
You're sick of it.
So you've transitioned into stand-up comedy. Is there any way you can apply the loop pedal to stand-up comedy?
You know, I'll try it. Sure.
You know, I guarantee there is. You should be incorporating your guitar into your stand-up.
Yeah, I mean,
you should be going out there with your acoustic.
Well, see, number one, I hate playing acoustic.
No, but like, it's just, it's easier to plug in.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why, you know, I mean, I love doing stand-up now anyway, but it to bring all my shit out to an open mic is kind of like,
I hear you.
Fuck me.
Oh,
because if I don't have my stuff, like those aren't really the songs aren't meant to be played naked.
Do you want that pig nose back?
No.
Because if you just plugged into that guy,
no,
you could just walk out on any stage with a little amp.
Yeah, I know. That's not what I mean.
I understand.
Like the pedals and stuff. And then like I put in all this work to like get it all right. And I don't know.
I know. I hear
I've
you.
Got other more enjoyable things to do.
I loved that piece, but
I really do think you set up
the looper.
I'll do some extensively.
I really think that you like. There's a lot of comics that have done it and are doing it, but incorporating music into your stand-up, I think it's a funny idea. I think it's fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know,
but I'll bring the rig out to open mic again when it starts getting warmer and there's actually people in there.
You know, you get there a little earlier.
Look forward to
pretty
that.
Damn good crowd.
Man, I don't want to take that my whole night.
You get there. You can leave after your set.
I hate those people.
You know what? I don't. Because they got shit to do. That's okay. That's
kind cool. Of bar regulars who are there by. Like after dinner.
Well, there are some people that come to the open mic and they do their set and they split. And I understand why that would upset people. And it used to upset me. Mm-hmm. It did. But I've gotten over it. Because I've had a few of those people. I've had a lot of people say to me over the years, but it's like it's a few of the people that are in and out. They're on the wagon. I won't name names because that's rude. But they, you know, being in the bar for too long makes them uncomfortable.
Mm.
So they come in, they do their set, they get what they want out of their set. You know, they get some, you know, they get the acknowledgement, they get to express themselves. They get to let it out, and then they get to, you know, finish their coffee and leave.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to stick around because they don't drink.
Some are teachers. They have to get up at 6 in the morning.
Some folks got to get up early. Some folks, you know, but whatever. Like, you know, I've come to terms with it, and it's fine. It's totally fine. I get it. You know, we all got lives. Thanks for coming through and spending a couple bucks at least on a cup of coffee.
Some people don't do that.
Most at least buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
there's a you know the folks that don't that come through and don't spend a dime, they'll always piss me off. And it's like some of those guys stick around, like they're there for 2 hours. Now you're taking up not only are you taking up a spot at the bar, you're taking up a parking spot, motherfucker. Like you're just wasting space. You need to spend some fucking money. I can't.
I know it's live music can seem like it's a patient in the. Emergency ward.
It's still at the end of the day, it is still a business. It's still a fucking business, you know. And for all intents and purposes, to justify my existence as host of this open mic, please spend some money at the bar.
Sure,
that's all I'm asking. You know, it's not a big ask. I don't think it's a big ask. You know, you don't drink. That's cool. I don't care. Get a cup of coffee. Get a Sprite. Get a birch beer. They got birch beer at the Exchange. There's not a lot of spots around that still keep birch beer on tap.
There are.
Interesting.
And the Exchange has the fucking finest birch beer. I don't know what make it. I don't know what the brand is.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
I think it might be. I think it might be IBC.
Okay.
Which is a good.
And this is non-alcoholic.
Yeah, it's birch beer. It's just you know it's just suds. It's a red. It's like root beer, but it's red and it's like sweeter and it's delicious. I love birch beer.
I like ginger beer.
Oh, yeah.
Ginger beer is nice.
And a good spicy one? Yeah.
Yeah, you can get that hard or soft.
Yeah. If you want, yeah, you could add whiskey to it if you want. They use it in making those Moscow mules, which
oh,
like.
Oh, okay.
it was funny. On Monday, somebody ordered a Moscow mule and they were like, hey, Chris, how come you the mules get served in these copper cups? And I heard the question. I was like, just to make it, it's like, that's how you make it cost $3 extra. We gave
That's
you
the tradition. It's always
you,
in those
We gave you
cups.
A fucking handle. Wow. It looks like you're drinking coffee. Everyone thinks you're drinking coffee. Don't. I don't know.
The Moscow Mule.
Oh, I don't really.
Those are beautiful copper mugs, you know.
Eh.
I feel yeah, like, fuck them.
No, like, I'm sorry. Not to sound like a fucking prig or nothing, but I don't want to drink out of a metal cup unless I'm camping or like a prisoner.
I think you just gave Dylan some new material.
It's what? That- like,
well, I happen to like the copper cup.
I don't know. To me, it's just like, are we cosplaying being fucking poor right now?
Cosplaying.
Should I put a couple
Peaky Blinders?
Should I put a couple shillings in this and like put on some blackout shades? That's just walk funny. Down the street. Oh,
I never thought pool. Of that.
Just like hear the clinky clank of a wow. fucking tin cup. I don't know. It, like it just. I don't see the appeal. I don't That's see funny. The appeal. If you put that in a Tom Collins glass or a pint glass or a nice fucking. You know, what would
a
you call this?
Glass?
A rocks glass sure. or a Ricky glass.
A Ricky?
Yeah.
A gin Ricky.
A gin Ricky.
I forgot what goes.
Yeah, we're going to watch the Montreal Expos play and have gin Rickies.
Yeah, we'll watch the St. Louis yeah. Browns play.
Ah, you can say old things by mentioning where sports teams used to be. It's great.
Sure.
Man, I miss the Expos.
And they became the Washington.
They were the other Canada team. Now it's like there's only one team in a different country.
There's only one. Yeah.
It's fucking Blue Jays.
Yeah. I've got the hat.
This is like it's not a World Series anymore. We can at least fake calling it a World Series because Canada's there too.
Yeah.
You know, fucking get like can Hawaii get a team?
Huh?
Why not?
What about Mexico City get a team in the major leagues?
That would be fucking rad.
Or London. I mean, no, that's a long that's dumb. Flight.
They don't want baseball in England. They don't want baseball.
They don't understand it.
They
Nick.
Don't fucking care. They don't fucking care, and we shouldn't try and force
them. But there's
them.
Pro football
but there
over
are
there.
People in Mexico that love baseball and play baseball. We should open up the MLB.
Okay. Sure.
You really want to call it a World Series? Any country that wants to play, fucking do it.
Sure. Now, American football. Now we're talking sports. I know this is one of your bugaboos. But they're playing some American football games over in London.
In the UK, yeah.
And maybe even in Paris or wherever.
When we were in Ireland back in October, when we visited Ireland, we had to go to London too.
Something wrong with London, dude?
I loved everyone I met. Oh, my wife's family, her friends,
in London.
The bartenders, the servers.
But you didn't
so kind.
You didn't that like
city,
Prince Harry.
I didn't like that city. I just didn't
Whoa,
like the city.
Whoa, that's so weird.
Didn't like it.
I would move there in a heartbeat if I could.
Get
I
your
loved
passport
it.
Going, buddy.
I loved it.
The food was so bad.
Interesting.
The food was really bad.
I never had really bad food, but.
But what was really aggravating was the weekend when we were traveling from Ireland back to London before we went back to the came back to the States. That was the weekend that there was the NFL game. I think it was, I don't even fucking remember who was playing, but they were playing at Wembley.
Wembley?
I think. Yeah, they're at Wembley. We had to go around Wembley through traffic, and all the traffic that was caused by people going to Wembley, the guy was complaining about it. The Uber driver was complaining about the traffic. It wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. Because and it dawned on me, like, they really don't fucking care. They don't fucking care. Because if this was a big deal, I'd be sitting in a lot more traffic.
I see.
You know? Also, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that they have a way better public transportation system.
Exactly.
Than we ever could dream of, because we keep not spending money on infrastructure. But
you don't like London.
This is not a political show, but you know.
It's not? You don't like London. I find that very
I didn't
suspicious and okay. interesting.
I,
I think Sherlock Holmes should be on the, maybe the North Jersey detectives.
Maybe the North Jersey detectives
should investigate.
We'll call Patty Kay. We'll get him on.
That's right.
The people were great.
Wow.
The food was not great at all. I had agita the whole time.
And did you have eel pie like the Hood would do?
No. I had one good meal. It was like a prime rib at a nice pub what the hell was the name of that beautiful garden?
Hyde Park?
No, it was like a membership garden thing. I can't remember. What the hell was the name? I can't remember. That was the one nice meal I had in England, but it was really expensive, but it was really good. Uh-huh. But like just getting pizza, getting like just like food like on the go, trash.
Wow.
Trash.
I loved getting pastries from Sainsbury's and cookies and
everything we ate in Ireland was absolutely top notch, and it made everything I've eaten since seem like garbage.
You're visibly shaken. I can see that.
Dude, it was so good in Ireland.
I had great
fish
and chips in Dublin, so that I can attest to that.
I don't know. The food is it was just better. It was just good. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow, very interesting.
Call me crazy. Call me crazy, but what's the deal with that?
In Ireland, I don't know if this is any fodder for stand-up, but they had a pizza chain called Apache Pizza in Ireland. I don't know if it was Irish owned. Then you go to Apache Pizza, and everybody in there is Pakistani.
Wow.
So it's quite a multicultural.
That's interesting.
The pizza was fine. It was all right.
I don't know who to be mad for.
Well, you got to blame somebody.
I don't know who to be mad for in a Dublin or an Irish pizza chain called Apache Pizza run by Pakistanis.
I don't know what to tell you.
Why didn't they just call it a Packy Pizza? Are you sure it wasn't a Packy?
I'll have to go check.
Are you sure it wasn't a Packy?
I even indulged my obsession. I bought a t-shirt from Apache Pizza. But I don't know where it is. I have so many t-shirts.
Was there like an Indian chief with like a headdress on it? Like, holy fuck. Damn.
Yeah.
That's like.
We took the whole Apache Nation, locked them in the pizzeria and the reservation.
Oh my God, call Cher. Somebody call Cher.
Oh, yeah.
She's tramps and thieves. Yes. Yeah.
Jesus, that is like next level tone deaf. That's hilarious.
But great fish and chips in Dublin for sure.
I had one of the best burgers of my entire life in Dingle. And, wow. while I was eating it, I looked up the hill and I saw all these cows. I was like, that's why this is so good.
Probably.
My burger had to travel 5 kilometers to get to my fucking plate.
You have a point.
Everything's local.
A lot of vegetarians would scoff at you or criticize you for that.
You know what? They can do that all they want because you don't win friends with salad.
They can go bite themselves.
They can go chase a tree and hug it.
and eat it.
Lick the bark, Todd.
Whoa.
I don't know. I'm just imagining some hippy-dippy kid named Todd.
There you go.
Oh, I saw this really cool thing. I just lighting the cigarette made me think of weed. rolling papers. Have you seen them? You see them in the liquor stores and the bodegas and shit, raw cones and stuff. They sell the pre-rolled cones.
Oh, so I haven't seen that.
So it's like a cone shaped, like they've got like
a cone shaped joint.
Well, it's empty. It's like a hollow joint. It's like you know how like my cigarette tubes with the machine, but like there's no machine. You just stuff it full. But they started making them. They're putting flower seeds in the tips. So when you get down to the end of your joint, just throw it on the ground. Flowers are going to grow.
Aww.
How nice.
That is the most hippy dippy,
very hippy
fucking thing I've heard in a long, long time. I love it, but it's so hippy dippy. Like, come smoke weed and plant flowers. I'm watching this commercial. It made me laugh, but like, and as I was walking away, I was like, huh. just having this like hippy dippy moment of just thinking about like smoking 50 joints and just planting a whole garden in like one fell swoop. Just like, nice. just like joints between every finger and just like, just like smoking all this weed and dropping all these joints, just fucking snobbing them out.
I think they will want to produce that commercial.
I would totally be the poster boy. I will be their hippy dippy boy and plant so many flowers. I love planting things. We're building, my wife's building these raised beds. That's why there's all these pine planks over here in the back of the
raised flower beds.
Yeah. Well, she wants carrots, potatoes.
Fucking, oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot. We actually got a lot of carrots last year. A lot of carrots. You do much gardening?
I threw like a couple of tomato seeds out in the back and nothing happened. It was all shadow.
That's it.
No, I did try once a few years ago and it was a disaster. Not even a disaster. It was a non-event.
Did it catch fire? Like
not a disaster. It was a non-starter.
Because like a disaster, that sounds like fatality.
I know. Involved. No. But I do have a cat buried in the back. A beloved cat, okay. A male cat.
It was your cat. Okay.
It was, Dorothy's less, and my cat.
It's way less weird then. Okay.
But like, supposedly.
I just found this cat.
But the police did come to my property one time. And I wasn't even there. Maybe I was in New York or whatever. But a guy who has a garage on the property told me the police came to my house. And there's a little wooded area behind the house. And they were looking for a human body buried in the back. And they didn't find that human body. Exactly. There was a...
Wrong house? Or?
The woman who was killed lived in Cranford. She was a single mom, one or two kids, younger boyfriend, and they broke up, and he was a jilted lover who went nuts, and he murdered her.
Hey, and why did you gesture towards me when you said jilted lover like that? Like,
apparently there was a jilted lover who caused arson.
Oh, yeah, the fire down there. Yeah. I'm like, what did I do to you, man? I love you, Chris.
We've all been jilted lovers time or another.
I have never jilted you. I love you, man.
So the
don't
police
pull me into this.
were looking for the woman's body. They couldn't find the body. Huh. And the young man,
they just assumed like you were probably
she may have lived in the area.
Murderer. They just like were like, oh well, the creepy guy that lives in this house.
You don't know how controversial your statement is, but the perpetrator, the perp, as they say.
The murderer
was from Union. So I think they did find the body in Union.
He
was apprehended, and his mother got in trouble for not helping the investigation.
How?
One of them aiding and abetting things.
Aiding and abetting.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't happen down the hill. 101 Joseph Lane went up in flames a few years ago.
Remember
and. the woman started this fire. She was like angry at her husband or boyfriend or something, and she set the joint on fire thinking he was the only one home, but he wasn't home.
Oh, no.
His mom was home.
Oh. Ooh. No,
she got out. Some minor, like I think she broke her ankle.
Still, that's...
and some cuts and scrapes, but she got out. But like, it's like when you set fire to someone's to a piece of property, you should really think about who else it's going to affect. Because if you want to say fuck you to that guy, and you want to burn his house down, great. But if that house
great.
If that house is a townhouse,
yeah.
And it shares a wall with an elderly woman,
that is so stupid.
You
to
just
do
dis-
that.
Like you displaced mm-hmm. not just that guy and his family, you displaced this totally innocent bystander. And that's what happened in this instance. Is like this woman, this sweet old lady was displaced from her home for over a year. It's fucking, that's fucking, that's terrible. That's fucking
and
terrible.
The fire can spread so quickly. She's lucky she got out. It could easily be too late and gone.
The fire department was on the scene quick. Those guys were fantastic.
Yeah.
The Minot Fire Department, it was the Picatinny showed up. Dover Fire Department, Rockaway showed up. It was like all hands on deck. This was everyone who fucking could show up did show up, and this it was out fast.
Four or five alarm fire.
To think about how quickly it could have spread. And yeah, no, it could have been a lot. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. Yeah. Hell of a lot worse. Yeah. But those firefighters did a damn fine job. And yeah, the chief of the Milo Fire Department, his kid is in preschool with my kid. Nice guy.
There you go.
Real nice guy.
So one thing I wanted to bring up with you, Nick, is
go on.
When I first met you, you were.
I know, I had bangs. It was really weird.
You looked like an assassin. No,
emo
you
assassin.
You did not have bangs and you did not look like an assassin.
I haven't had bangs in forever.
But you were practicing at least a half hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only practicing 5 songs a day, which is like, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And I thought, wow, Nick is really on the case. I got to step up my game. So ever since then, I've been practicing 10 songs a day, half hour, whatever, trying to get it in. How about now? I mean, you have your young daughter. I mean, it's got to be harder to...
I don't practice.
I didn't want to hear that.
No. I'm sorry to disappoint you, buddy.
I mean, you're solid on the songs you play at the Exchange.
I'm working on new stuff, and I've got some new... I've been building my repertoire for sure, but it's like... It's I have to really... Find my time, pick my time, pick my battles.
Pick your shots.
And there's a lot of late nights. And my late nights are me sitting up, you know. Yeah, I'm smoking pot and I'm playing video games and I'm listening.
I told you never to do that.
Don't tell me what to do. But I've been, you know, but I do practice. It's not as often as I used to, but I still do. I've kind of supplemented the fact that, like, if I don't do, I can't do 30 minutes a day, but I'll do like an hour every 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been going over some new stuff. I've got some new covers I'm working on. A couple of new, some originals that I'm working on. But it's not as often as I'd like. 30 minutes a day is great because you can just pick up where you left off. If you let a couple days go in between,
you got to catch up. Kind of forget, it's a pain in the neck.
Forget where you were, you know?
It's a pain in the neck.
So, yeah.
I started learning a cover. You're probably going to chide me. I started learning We Are Never, Ever, 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 Ever Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift. And even that's an oldie now.
Yeah.
That song's like 15 years old.
Yeah. I know it.
I saw, you know, that there's that website, The Hard Times.
Yes.
It's like The Onion for musicians.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. I saw a great headline. Taylor Swift is now dating Gigi Allen. The ghost of Gigi Allen.
There you go.
And she plans on taking a shit on the stage next door.
Wow.
I was like, that was one of the greatest headlines I'd heard in a while.
That would be bold.
I would have loved that.
My favorite headline for them was Irresponsible Bands Locks Bassist in Hot Car.
Ooh, ow.
Or lead singer surprises band by helping with loadout.
I saw that one, yes.
Classic.
The drums.
I took offense to that one.
The drums especially.
It's I took offense to that one because I'm always the guy that's like, hey, it's my PA system, so yeah, mm-hmm. You bet your fucking ass I'm helping with loadout because it's my fucking rig.
Yeah.
But I'm also, and Sean Farrelly will attest to this, and every drummer I've ever worked with will attest to this. When the drummer shows up, I stop what I'm doing and I go and help the drummer get his shit out of the car. And it's not just to be nice. It's a logistical thing. The drummer sets up behind everything else.
Yeah.
So let's get that shit back there now.
Yes.
So I'm not dragging cables, you know, underneath, like, you know, like,
that's
and some drummers and other band members can get kind of claustrophobic. And then they're like buttoning into each other while they're loading in, and then they start to get territorial and weird.
Let's get the drummer in.
You get an old man fight on the stage.
But it's to be a nice person. I'm going to help you get your gear out, but there is like it's a selfish reason too. It's a honest reason of just like logistics. Drummer's back here.
That's true.
All the stuff's going to go here. So why would I drag it over? Like, let's get this shit in here immediately. Get the drummer in, you know? And if the drummer's on time, which they're never on time, and that's not a knock. That's just life. But no, you got to get that boy in there.
True. I mean, loading the drums out is another political thing. I don't want to be loading out for the fucking drums.
On loadout?
Everybody's tired.
On loadout? No, you're on your own.
I can barely get my microphone.
You get your shit packed up. I'll get my shit packed up. Like, on loadout, you handle your shit. Load in, all hands on deck. Load out, give me my shit. You get your shit.
Yeah.
Can you tell we don't pay for roadies? Fuck. That would be so expensive.
Dylan is docketing all this material for his stand-up.
It would be too mean. Yeah, I've been there. I'm always the guy with the PA. And my favorite is like when you bring all that stuff and somebody in your band sets up their mic while you're still doing other things. But they don't set up any of the other mic stands. It's like, well, I did mine. Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, you still got 5,000 other things to do. You
thanks
can
a lot,
do
Mother
that.
Teresa. You fucking saint.
I just cut out. You did.
What did?
Jiggle the...
Oh, the headphones? There's a volume knob on the headphone. You might have hit the volume on the headphone thing. It's on the cable. Whoop, you missed it. There it is. Yeah, push it up, and you should be back up.
Oh, okay, let me
try this. A little fader.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, those are knockoffs. Those aren't Beats by Dre. Those are Boots by Dro.
Yeah, you can tell I'm really high tech on the stage.
They were made in Chona. That's how knockoff they are.
Chris, yeah. You're not the first person to get zinged by the
Oh my god!
Fader on that
Tommy Hyde had like a fucking nervous breakdown. He thought he was going deaf.
Oh, because
because the volume headphones. Knob, because he knocked the volume knob down.
That's funny.
He was like, "These aren't working. I can't hear it." He was freaking out. It was hilarious.
How's he doing? I haven't seen him at the open mics lately.
Well, he's working nights at the Underpaid Slaves UPS and. He's another one of those guys that's been cutting out early. So he'll come in, he'll sign up, and he'll go. And then this past week he was there, and he forgot to sign up. So like he got there early.
It happened.
And like just like waltzed past the list. And then 15 minutes later, he's like, oh, I got to sign up. And he signs himself up, and he's like number 9. He's like, I got to work. I got to go. I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And it actually worked out great because it was like 18 people on the list. So like Tommy leaving actually kind of helped move the night along a little quicker.
His band is sounding really good. They're tight and solid.
Yeah, Living Dogs. They're doing some cool stuff. I like them. Are you working on some new stuff?
Well, too lazy to bring out the guitar even though I brought it, but I wrote a country song for a contest, specifically for a contest. I think I explained this to the folks at Exchange a few weeks ago, and because it was partly inspired by the Exchange, all the friends and the camaraderie there.
Uh-huh. And when I think New Jersey, I think country music.
I know, not really, but it was a country contest, and it was so dingbat of me. The contest was specifically a drinking promo. Not that I drink much, but I kind of missed the drinking section of it, but I still was able to submit the song to the country category.
Right.
It's in the premise, and the chorus is, where do you see yourself 5 beers from now?
Hey, that fits.
Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now? So that's the first thing I've written since I wrote a mini musical in 2023.
That's really good.
I'll play
5 beers from now. You don't want to play that right now?
I'd take a while. Oh yeah, sure. Okay,
we can with the magic of editing, we can make it sound like it didn't take you that long to set up.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Dylan, can you use that magic wand of editing?
I can. Yeah. With all the editing, we only have about like 10 minutes of material anyway.
There's the magic wand.
Agent Orange.
Oh God, Cyclone B again.
All right. Let me go pull it together.
Don't. Yeah. Let's give Chris Hoyle a minute here to get his rig together. But yeah, I want to hear the new thing.
Okay.
5 beers from now. That's just off the title. Yeah, I need to hear this, dude. I need to hear this.
Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now. Wondering who I might be toasting to. Count me lucky to raise a glass with you. We follow different stars. Cool, we can merge for some happy hours. You've done so much, had your ups and downs, great times and lives and projects, the triumphs and the tears. You should really be proud. And tonight you're in this watering hole with me. Just why? Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now? Hear the wise ones saying, be here now. Still, I'm grateful we rode in to chill out. You showed me how to listen, take in the mix, and just be a friend. You've done so much, had your ups and downs, great times and lives and projects, the triumphs and the tears. You should really be proud. And tonight you're in this watering hole with me. Just why? Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now? So much, had your ups and downs, great times and lives and projects, the triumphs and the tears. You should really be proud. And tonight you're in this watering hole with me. Just why? Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now? Where do you see yourself 5 beers from now?
Christopher Hoyle, 5 beers from now. That's great, man.
There you have it. It's a little rough, you know. Yeah, I'm not used to playing it like this.
After you started that riff, I was like, oh yeah, that one. That's the one. Once you started that riff, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Because I walked.
You were out on the porch having your smoke.
I walked out while you were playing it.
Nice. Whoa. Ouch.
I was going to cut that track, but I think I'll leave it in. That sounds great.
I noticed something while we were recording. While we were recording Chris play this, you have these tracks mislabeled.
I know.
You noticed that too?
Yes.
Okay, good. See that giant gap on the Chris bar, Chris Hoyle?
Yeah.
That was me turning my microphone off so that we could just isolate your sound.
Now, you are a sound wizard.
Yeah, I'm really great at it. I'm really good at this stuff.
Well, thanks for listening to that.
I love that. That's a great song. It's a great song. Thanks. That shit's got wheels.
I hope it does. But you said something ominous one night that you submit to the contest and it doesn't matter. Everything's about who's connected and who's 19 and looking really hot and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but
I don't want to be cynical and believe what you said, Nick, but
okay.
I hope that something will happen with that song in the contest or maybe
contest people... or no, it's a good song.
Yeah.
So you should you should just record it
anyway,
regardless.
Sure.
Because it's a really good song.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple for me. I tend to have more complicated songs. Doesn't even have much.
You do love a bridge.
Doesn't even have much of a bridge in that one.
You love a bridge.
I know. Maybe too much. I know.
Like, you're like the George Washington.
I know. Yeah. Do you remember the Sidewalk Cafe in the East Village?
Yeah.
They pioneered so-called anti-folk, and there was a guy named Latch who was semi-famous, and he'd run the open mics. And whenever a songwriter would have a bridge. He had a big old sign he'd hold up that says, "Bridge, we're coming to the bridge." All right. You know, yeah, like 80% of my songs have bridges. We can talk about that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
In a song
there's nothing wrong.
Writing
no, like, no, it's,
workshop environment.
It's actually been one of those things that I've, like, while writing songs, been like, I need a bridge. I need a bridge. This song needs a bridge. We need to, you know, bring it back around. And like,
yeah, and
like
sometimes you can write the bridge and then get rid of it later if you don't really want
and,
it.
It's not necessary in every song, but it's a necessary tool in the songwriting process. 1,000,000%. You know,
Zeppelin has a lot of bridges.
I'm thinking, yeah, they do.
When the Levee Breaks and Whole Lotta Love.
It just made me think of the Crunge.
Forget how that bridge goes.
There's no bridge in that song. And that was them, like, a clap back at one of the critics at Rolling Stone saying they write songs for bridges. Or something like that.
It's good to change it up and have no bridge sometimes, or just like a short instrumental break bridge, and then you're back.
There's always a reason to give Jimmy Page a guitar solo, and everybody at the Rolling Stone magazine can go shit in their hat, because to complain about how Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones orchestrated and arranged these songs, fuck you. bridges are great. And I found myself like my head spinning, trying to figure out writing bridges, you know, like not in every instance, but like there's been moments where I'm like, where the fuck's the bridge? Where's the bridge? And like I just can't fucking find
Interesting.
It. Yeah.
I got on the hook of writing bridges. I got hooked on it by this songwriter named Hugh Prestwood, who was a Long
Island... That's like a porn star name.
I know it, right? But he was a Long Island guy who was on the...
Hugh Prestwood against her butt.
Yes. He was in the village folk scene, and then he's one of the maybe few Yankees, proportionally, who went and made it in Nashville, and he wrote a lot of hits. He wrote something for Crystal Gayle. He wrote the song Remembers When for Trisha Yearwood.
Okay.
And he said, you got to have a bridge, you know? I mean, he was writing in 80s, 90s... trying to write hits, so he got me on the treadmill of writing bridges.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't.
But I got to the point where I started to enjoy it. Like, where is this melody going to go? And I got into where it might take me. So that was fun, getting used to it and liking it.
Hell yeah.
Bridges are great. I fucking love when it, like, my favorite thing in a song, you know it's going to be a fucking hit when it, you know, jumps up a step.
Oh, you talk about it all the time.
I do.
You love it.
I love it.
Changes, you modulate.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that and modulation.
Then it might modulate out of the bridge into another key.
Exactly. Like the quintessential 80s rock song.
Power ballad, yeah.
It's in the way that she moves it, bam. Burm, burm.
I think you got a new one.
That's it's an Eric Clapton song.
Oh, okay.
it's in the soundtrack for Color of Money, and I'm pretty sure it's in Cocktail too. But like, it's this great quintessential 80s rock and roll pop song, and the outro is just modulate.
Oh, that's fun.
Modulate. It just keeps going up and fading out.
Oh, that's cool.
And now, it's like really just like rubbing. Like, it's like just rubbing its dick all over.
Modulation.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's
now, you
crazy.
Know, in the musical Spamalot, and this song happens to stand on its own as a good melody, but the song is called This Is the Song That Goes Like This. And it's makes fun of the power ballad, verse chorus. Change key for bridge and change key for last chorus out. It happens to be a good song.
I have not seen Spamalot yet.
I think it's called The Song That Goes Like This.
Interesting.
I've not seen Spamalot.
It was good.
Oh, I've not heard one bad review.
Yeah.
It just hasn't, I haven't, you know, I don't like spending money. So, so I don't go to a lot of Broadway shows.
But you're better than I. You went and saw the Book of Mormon.
We saw Book of Mormon. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic show.
That was great. Those are the kind of writers who would write a song just like that, you know, making fun of the structure of the song. No, because
there's a lot that, like,
this is a montage.
Well, growing up watching South Park and then going to see Book of Mormon. No, these are like, it's so obvious. These boys grew up on Python, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Rabid Mighty Python fans. Like it's evident, and like everything they've done, that they are huge Python fans.
Wow.
And then watching this musical, they just like hammer it home with like just, you have to see it, but like this, like there's, it's a story about Mormon missionaries who go to Africa. And they go to this war-torn African village.
I didn't know the premise. That is very funny to begin with.
That's the premise. And it's fantastic. But like there's one of the villagers, one of the fellas in this village, he's like one line in the whole show that he keeps repeating in every song. And it's, I have maggots in my scrotum. Because everyone there is so sick and diseased and dying because it's Africa, and at the core of it, it is at the core of this show, the message is these people are poor and being fucked over at every turn. And there's nothing funny about that at all. But when
you can have a satire.
When you can satirize something and you humanize this thing and you make it something that everyone can kind of like, you know, understand, and laughing at it makes it easier to understand in some ways. Sure. But when this one cat, it's not his only bit in the whole show, but this one character, it's one cat, I can't remember his name. It's been a while since I saw the show, but it's what it's like his hook. It's his bit. I have maggots in my scrotum. And it's the last line of the show is him just screaming.
Wow.
It's fucking hilarious.
Ask me what the secret of comedy is.
Well, isn't it tragedy?
Timing.
I thought it was tragedy plus time.
You're right and I'm wrong.
We're both wrong. We're both right.
That's correct.
So that's comedy. Comedy.
Yeah.
All right. Are we there? We're there.
All right, thank you, Nick.
Chris,
thank
Hoyle. You, Dylan. Fantastic guest.
Thank Always you. A great time. Good.
That was fantastic. We just heard, you all just heard, our 75 subscribers just heard for the first time anywhere. You elite sons of bitches, you. You just heard Five Beers From Now for the first time anywhere. So, boys and girls, let's give it up for Christopher Hoyle one more time.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Alex.
All right, kids, don't forget to check out the exchange for the open mic night every Monday, the Monday Funday open mic night and all that stuff. Go to my website, www.nickkina.com. I'm going to update. I got some gigs coming up, and I'll tell you guys about it when you go to my website or find me on @TheRealNickKina and all that stuff, and find me on the Facebooks. And Dylan, you good?
I'm good.
You good?
You're good.
You good?
Good.
Chris Wells, good? You good?
I've been called worse.
You've been called better.